This is an unrehearsed interview with Mr. Ralph Sims of Mason County, Kentucky.
Robinson
County, Kentucky. It's the interview is being conducted on August 4th, 1988, and the interviewer is Lynn David. Now we just visit.
Okay.
You say there's been a store here for how many years?
1911, I believe. It was started by T.C. Craig. And then it was run for years by them. Then Lucy Limbo run it, 10 or 12 years? Then we run it 23. And Larry Miller and Wayne Miller's running it now.
And it's called Miller's Store now.
Uh-huh.
So each owner that's had it's changed the name of it?
Yeah, but it's been I think it started in 1911, I believe.
And how many people does this store usually serve?
Well, it's just like we was talking a while ago. It used to be that people, when I was a kid, this was the main loafing place, and you didn't think about going anywhere and buying anything but here. But people travel, you know, a lot anymore, and they're all small business hurt, you know, really.
So when you were a kid, was this the gathering place of everything?
Sure was, yeah. A lot of loafers, but you don't even have a lot of them anymore.
Did y'all come down here in the evenings for entertainment too, or?
Yeah. Daytime and at night, that's where you came at night. Instead of going to Mays, we came here.
What'd y'all do when you come down here in the evenings?
Well, you might play checkers or drink pop, just talk.
Well, you heard a lot of people talking then as a boy growing up about how things used to be. Do you remember anything, any of the stories the guys used to talk about or anything?
Yeah. Talked about the Depression, that's what they talked mostly about in the 30s, how tough it was.
They had a really rough time around here?
Well, they sure did. I guess they did, you know, a lot of places, but... I know my brother-in-law and sister, I know I've heard them talk about going to Maysville. They were married about the time I was born, and things was tough, and they had two or three silver dollars, and he'd give it to her to spend, and she wouldn't spend them, she'd bring them home with her, so they didn't spend anything. You know, that's all they had.
Just go into town and look around?
I've heard him tell that.
What year were you born in?
32.
So you were right in the midst of it.
Yeah.
Now, what did your dad and mom do?
They were farmers.
What was your dad's name?
Daddy Sims. Always called him G.J. Sims. It was his initial, you know.
And your mom's name?
Minnie.
What was her maiden name?
I think she was Cleaver.
And then they had grown up around here, too?
Yeah.
Did you ever hear your folks tell about how it used to be when they were growing up? Or?
No, not really. I can't remember any tall tales about that, really.
I bet you've heard some tall tales from
people
who ran this place for 20 years. Huh?
Maybe forgot them.
Any good coon hunters around here?
Yeah, Larry's a coon hunter. Used to be, didn't you, Larry? Yeah, they have a few around here.
They ever talk about the big ones?
No, yeah.
Around my home.
A lot of fishing tails.
Ah, I've heard those. Real big ones,
yeah.
Right? How did the business over the 20 years, what made you decide to get into the business instead of farming, or did you do both?
Both. Did both. My wife had always worked, and she just wanted something to do, so we just kind of done that on the side. She was the one to stay here, I didn't.
How did your business change over those 20 years?
Well, I don't know if the business changed that great, but just the price of everything just... You buy a case or something, and if the time you got ready to buy a case, another case of it, the profit, it didn't increase enough to just bring or eat your profit up. You know, that was the one thing that really changed more than anything, probably.
Mm-hmm. What year did you all take it over then? 70?
I think it was 63 or 4, I believe.
you were a young boy when World War II came along. Did it affect this community around here very much?
I can't say it did. Not as I can remember. Of course, a lot of the boys had to go to service, but there was enough people back then to keep a farming going on.
Were farm prices up during World War II, or did farm prices go down? I've always meant to ask somebody that.
I think prices has kind of been up and down all along. I don't know really at that time what they were.
This is pretty hilly land around here. What can you farm successfully?
Well, tobacco's our main crop. But for that, I don't know. Probably what we do. How we survive without it, it's a main.
What is going to happen with all the problems with smoking and tobacco?
Everybody's really fighting it. It seems like it's on its way out, seems like. I used to didn't think it might be, but I still think there'll always be tobacco, but I don't know whether it'll be feasible to raise it, you know, for everybody. Maybe just big farmers, but I don't know.
If you can't raise tobacco around here, what could you raise?
I don't know. That's a question.
Are a lot of the farmers in this area getting out of the business? Or?
Well, no, not really. There's more people. Seem like raising more. And, I mean, getting a little bigger on that, leasing more. Not anybody. Well, you might say they're getting out too because they're leasing it to somebody else, some of the older people.
Has the people who come into this store, have they changed over the years, or is it families following same families? I don't know if I'm saying this.
The same families coming to the store, you mean? Well, their ancestors, because this community here has always been, everybody's kin to each other. You can't mention, you can't talk about nobody. So
well,
it's their ancestors over the period of years, you know, they're still the same families, you might say, mostly.
You ever hear any stories about any of these other families or their ancestors or how this particular area got settled?
No, not really. Used to be a toll gate down here, didn't it, at the end of the road? Maybe you know more about it, Lauren, I do. I've always heard there was somebody got killed in there, wasn't it? Somebody tried to go through a toll gate. And,
without paying?
Maybe named Burke, and that's where the Burke got his name. Is that right? Seems like I've heard that story.
Dutch Henry was a Burke, wasn't
he? Huh?
Dutch Henry was his name. They called him Dutch Henry, but he was a Burke, wasn't he?
Yeah, seemed like it.
It was great.
This is called Burke, really, that's what it is. Burika.
That's the name of the community? And he tried to go through the toll gate?
I've always heard a tale. I don't know how it happened or anything, but he tried to go through it.
Well, he did go through once, and it ain't clear that he said this guy walked through the, was riding the horse. And he went out and tried to get him paid, he wouldn't do it, and he went on. And he come back, and he did, he grabbed the grass and he told him he was going to pay him. He went through that thing, and he pulled out a gun and killed
him. Who did kill it?
Dutch Henry.
Oh, Dutch Henry was killed.
Uh-huh. He was the one that
told him. Who, anybody know the name of the guy that killed him?
I think they did then. Somebody said they already killed him for whatever reason he went down there. And that guy had to leave out of here. Of course, after he killed him.
Anybody know why he was hired to kill him?
No, I knew that.
So they never caught the killer then? Be a little dangerous to be a toll gatekeeper then.
Might be. That's a tale. I don't know where that's.
Yeah.
I've always heard that.
Was there other shops and stores around this little store, or has this always been the only one that you often remember?
This is the only one I ever remember being right here. There used to be a store down here by the hill, but this is the only store I ever knew. Now, across Johnson, used to be Mitchell's Mill, they call it, wasn't it, Larry? They tell me that was a kind of a place like Mount Olive was. It had a mill there and had a lot of little stores. So that was before my time. I don't remember anything about it. But they said that was kind of going places at the time.
And it's completely disappeared now? Yeah.
There's a cemetery over there, about the thing where there was one or two buried. It wasn't the only thing left.
Yeah.
It's right across from my farm, got about a mile around the road.
How big a farm you got?
170 acres.
Quite a few acres to farm by yourself. Do you have sons? Or?
Son-in-law raised me back. Just have one daughter.
Where'd you go to school in?
Went to school. Gurkey? Used to be a schoolhouse down here in Bama Hill. And I went all 5 or 6 years, and I went to Pickwick a couple of years, and then Mount Olive.
So you went to, was it a one-room schoolhouse?
Well, now, Gurkey was. Pickwick was two-room schoolhouse.
And those are fast disappearing. There aren't any more of those around anymore.
I know there is.
Remember what your teacher's name was?
No. Miss Nella Lundergan was the teacher. Anna Ruth Chamberlain, they were grade school teachers.
How do you teach with all the kids in one room? Was it hard for you guys, or did it help you?
Well, I don't know. They had maybe 6 grades in all one room. I don't know. They just take time out, you know, and teach one group a while and the other one.
How'd you get to school?
Walked. The turkey.
Wasn't a school bus that pick you all up, or?
What time went to Gurkey? We walked every day.
Did all the kids walk?
I guess we must have had a school bus when we went to Pickwick. All the kids did.
I know over in Mays Lick, some of them used to ride horses to school. I didn't know why they didn't get over here or not.
I don't remember whether the school bus even went to Pickwick. I reckon it did. It had to. But we're getting more quickly. We're getting interviewed. Bill, you want to get interviewed?
When you were growing up, was there anybody around that stands out in your mind? I know they were all related, but was there either somebody you looked up to, or a character in the community, or somebody special that you remember as a boy?
No, I don't guess so. There's all just like. We was all looking for stop here at the store afternoon and get us a candy bar.
What'd you do if you got sick?
I don't remember ever getting sick. I don't know. At school, you mean?
No, at home or anything. Was there a doctor in the community?
We had 3 doctors that time in the county.
In where?
In the county. I said we had 3 doctors. I cut my head real bad when I was a kid, and the doctor would visit your homes then, and he'd come over home 48 mornings straight.
48 mornings?
Just about that. He didn't go to.
Did your mom ever have some home remedies she gave you? My mother used to give me cod liver oil all the time.
Yeah. You had indigestion, you took liniment.
Liniment? Like horse liniment?
Yeah. No, it wasn't horse liniment, but it was soda water. I had an uncle who used to take it to field with him. He'd take him a bottle of soda water with him every morning.
You're talking about like baking soda and water,
yeah,
and just shake them up together?
Good for indigestion, still is.
What if you got covered with a rash or something? What would your mom do? You got the poison ivy or?
I guess they'd probably take me to the doctor.
Didn't make you suffer, huh?
No. But we were just talking about it before we come in, about it used to be 3 doctors here, and now we had one for a year, and he's leaving, so.
Yeah, I read that in the paper.
So, you know, it just shows you how times have changed.
in the 30s and 40s, where was the electricity running into the homes out here then?
About 40, I think. I think it was around 40 when they were we had our first electricity.
So you remember that?
Yes, I shall. By the way, that refrigerator right there was bought then, and it's still going.
Looks like my mom's old refrigerator that she had when I was growing.
That was one of the first ones ever in this country.
Where'd y'all get it?
Well, the Craigs bought it at that time. Well, they run the store, but that's how old it is.
Well, that'd have been quite... The store must have been fairly prosperous then at that time to invest in an electric refrigerator.
Yeah. Well, just like I said, that was the only place people went, and there was a lot of... the country was more thickly populated than it is now, as it may.
How did your mom keep things cool?
I don't remember. I've heard them talk about putting down wells and things, but I can't say that I remember exactly anything about that, because refrigerators came along about the time I was, best remember that kind of stuff. But I guess that's how they did it. I don't know, I wondered myself how they did it.
I grew up in a town, when they delivered ice to the door, but out here, that'd be almost an impossibility to get ice from any distance in.
Get it in the
house. Huh?
Yeah, we used to get the ice from the house.
At Mount Olivet. How long would it take you to get it home? Would there be much of it left?
It's about 6 miles
from here. I can't remember much about getting ice, but I guess we did. Seemed like it might have been somebody run a truck, ice truck around maybe once a week or something, I've heard say. But I can't remember exactly about that.
Huh?
They
used to run a creamery truck through here.
Yeah. A creamery truck? What's that?
They pick up your cream. They didn't milk and sell like they do today. They would sell, you would separate them. You'd either have just a hand separator or out you.
Yeah.
And you'd save your cream for about a week, any time of the week. And once a week, you'd pick up a can of cream.
How would you keep the cream cool?
You didn't. You just set it out there and they take it. It didn't matter.
I think it's sour on you.
Well, that would. The weather then was a lot different than it is now.
I don't care. In the summer, it's still hot. I think cream would go bad.
Do you know how to separate it from the milk cream?
I've seen the milk separators. We used to, on the farm in Iowa, they had a hand one that we cranked.
Cream kind of had one hand.
We had one that didn't even have a hand. What do you call it? We used to have
a... Well, I remember this one up in Iowa, we had a crank. We poured it in and somebody stood and cranked and it separated.
I'll tell you how they used to keep a lot of the milk and butter back then. Most everybody had a well.
Just put it down in the well?
Put it down in the well. Either that or they had a spring.
I think I lost it. Boy, growing up, did you have any brothers or sisters?
Had one sister and one brother. They were older than I were.
A lot older?
Quite a bit. About 10, 15 years. 15 years.
So they were pretty well grown time you came along then.
Yeah.
What were their names?
Harold Sims, Addie.
What'd you do for fun when you were a kid?
Went swimming and fishing.
You a good fisherman?
No, not really. Didn't have much fun.
Not at all.
No, the kids would all get together, play basketball.
Where would you play ball?
Down where I live now. We'd all gather down there. Had a goal up on the barn. That's about our fun. Ride bicycles. About like they do now, all day.
Holidays a big time around here?
Holidays didn't mean a thing.
Celebrate Christmas?
Oh, yeah. 4th of July.
Which was bigger of the two, Christmas or Fourth?
Oh, Christmas. Christmas, that's the only one you ever really celebrated.
Did y'all have a Christmas tree when you were...
Oh, yeah.
Go out and cut it yourselves?
Yeah.
What'd your mom cook for Christmas dinner?
Everything we always had planned to eat. She'd raise about 200 chickens a year. We always, that's one thing we had is eating.
Even during the Depression, then food wasn't the problem.
No, because they raised what they didn't buy, bring, you know, a lot of stuff like they did have those.
Did you all kill a beef or did you mostly eat?
Yeah.
Pork.
Usually kill bees and hogs bullet. Yeah. Had lockers then. You didn't have any place. You didn't have a freezer or anything to store them in. You'd take them to a locker and they would keep them for so much a month. Then you just go get them, bring them home as you need to.
I've forgotten all about lockers, but my dad used to have a locker too. I think. Everybody in town went
to
the locker.
Had one mile of it. Finally had to get one made, I think, after it closed.
Has Mount Olivet gotten bigger or smaller over the years?
I can't say it's really changed a lot in size. People don't go, you know. I used to be, when we did go town Saturday night, that town would be lined with people, I mean the streets. We went shopping center Saturday night down our pads and people driving through, you know. My wife said it reminded me of my mom used to, you know. Mm-hmm. Just the young people driving through mostly, you know. But they'd be walking. The streets just be lined with people. But after television come along, I think it kind of, people stayed home more.
Once more people got automobiles, well, after World War II, more people had them than before.
Oh, yeah.
You think that had anything to do with the small stores like this one?
Yeah, automobile, yeah. Yeah, they went more.
I think people's
outgrowed their, you know, like they used to be. They've outgrowed their means, you know. Used to be that they needed a country store over in small country towns, but they don't need them anymore. It seemed like they had more money and they can just go do better, more things. It was unheard of to go out and eat on Saturday night. Like when I was a kid, now you can't find a place to eat.
Yeah.
Can't get in.
So you look to go out to eat on Saturday night too now?
Well, we do, but sometimes we don't. Every Saturday night.
When the old timers, when you had the store and the old timers used to gather around here, did you ever have any storytellers among the group?
Well, there was one guy who fished a lot. He told a lot of fishing stories. I think it was before my day that they really sat around and told ghost stories and all that kind of stuff. They'd visit at night. That's about all the thing they do is tell ghost stories. They'd have you so secured you couldn't go home. But that was kind of before, you know, that my day in the store business.
You ever hear any of those old ghost stories?
Oh, yeah, a few of them.
Remember any of them?
No, not really.
No ghost in these hills that you remember? Do you have any good musicians that used to hang around here?
No, not that. I can't remember any.
Most towns have a character. You know, one guy that was a little bit different than everybody else, or a woman. Was there anybody like that that lived around here?
Around here? I can't think of anybody, was it, all right?
You're all just good, normal people, huh? You didn't have any eccentric people?
They did have neighbors, but they didn't perform good. They
Huh?
I said they did before cancer, right? But after cancer, they kind of settled down, I guess. Me and your dad should have something.
I ain't gonna tell her again.
Your dad could tell her too.
You remember any of the tales your dad used to tell?
We might probably remember if you left, but I tell you, we can remember if you leave, but
yeah, it's sort of hard when somebody sneaks up on you like this.
Yeah.
Remember talking about what?
Headless horseman.
We had a headless horseman here?
Yeah, they always claimed there
was one here. That was one of the ghost stories.
Where did he ride?
Well, they just said he rode around in this area. They saw him down in there all the time. That's part of the little gold.
Yeah.
Clarence Dodson used to tell me when I was real little. He'd get me so scared I wouldn't go upstairs with me. Dad said right at the foot of the stairs and I still wouldn't go up there. Instead of me, I'd be scared of that.
Did our headless horseman have a name or?
No, he just a headless horseman.
Just rode the hills. Did you ever think as a kid you heard him or saw him? I don't think I would have either. I'm a big coward.
My grandfather told the tale one time. He never believed in ghosts. And he made fun of people when he talked about it. And him and his father-in-law was looking for the couch. It was getting dark. And walked up there and he found a place in the fence where the fence had been mashed down. And he thought he was standing right by him. He was talking to him, told him, he said, Major Mulligan's old pony's drunk the fence down. He said, the cow's gone through here. And he turned back around and looked, he never answered him. And there wasn't anything there. And he said that always bothered him. And he was sure that he was standing there with him. That's the only tale, and he never could explain it.
Yeah.
And,
what'd he do?
He didn't do anything.
I started
hunting some cows.
I think I'd have left the cows alone.
He always made fun of people, and I think that's the reason he saw whatever he saw. Just because he made fun of people.
Yeah.
Clarence Dodson was the biggest ghost teller. He could tell those stories all night long. And I had to sit there and listen to them.
I think them older people believed in him a little bit, though, didn't
yeah.
they?
Yeah, they did.
And might have seen the thing, you know, I don't know.
Well, I hate to tell them they didn't.
Well, there used to be wildcats and things around here like that. Uncle John Cleaver, he lived to be a hunter. He's been dead, what, 25 years?
Probably.
At least. He told me a story about...
Wait a minute. Story about what?
Frank Gabriel. There used to be an old road that came down here where Mount Pleasant goes and then went on down through here to Blue Licks. And it was dirt road at that time. And he was going to Blue Licks. And it started getting dark on him. It was pretty late in the afternoon. And this wildcat screamed every once in a while. Of course, he was stepping on pretty good trying to get out there. And he got out here to Blue Licks where Magnie used to run filling station. And he screamed so close behind him that he turned around and started back down the road, took his knife out, and he fell down. He got over off the edge of the road and fell, and there was an old sound pigs in there. And he just cut them all to pieces. He said after that rabbit was over, he never heard any more from the log yet. He said you're making sure to hit the dam. But they said he kept those jokes on the field, no one's out there. But I, you know, it's hard to imagine being log gets and things around here that body after night.
And they have an unhumanly, I mean, it's an unhuman scream, I've heard of.
Oh, yeah, it sure is. And Uncle John said that when he would go sit down or something, they would leave real early in the morning so that they could get back before dark when they'd count on the count of that.
Ever tell anybody about anybody getting attacked by one of them?
I can't remember hearing anybody that ever got hurt by it. But they didn't, they was in from night time. They usually ain't even been in the house. But he told me a lot of stories, but I can't remember the ones that he told me. But he could tell you things that, you know, just seemed unreasonable to me about the animals.
Used to be bears around here, I suspect, wasn't there?
You never said anything about bears. I don't know.
It's coyotes now taking over.
There was wild cats. There was a lot of them, at that time. Because they'd get people's meat out, you know, at night. They'd go out there, take a stick of wood, and go out there and run them out. I'd let them have the meat.
They ever kill anything besides like the chickens or the cattle or?
Oh, yeah, the stuff getting in chickens.
Yeah.
Lambs. Used to lose a lot of lambs and things like that.
Who was this Uncle John?
John Cleaver.
Was he related to you? Well, you said everybody's related.
Well, one way or the other, most everybody is.
Or did they just call him Uncle John?
My grandmother and his wife was sister. So I just called him Uncle John.
Yeah.
Mom would call Aunt Leslie and Uncle John. Or they would just Uncle John.
He was a brother to my grandfather. So see, that's everybody's skin.
You have to be careful what you say about people around here, don't you?
You have to tell them to their face. Because if you don't tell them to their face, I'm asking them.
With all these interrelations, were there ever any feuds around here, or do people pretty well get along?
Get along. Get in trouble, look, all of a sudden help you.
That's good.
Sure will.
Well, this is a nice little story you got here. It's well stocked. Say you don't have too many come in and just sit around and chew the fat anymore?
They don't loaf like they used to. It used to be, if it comes share of rain, you couldn't hardly get in here good. People line all these benches, they'll make storage, these tails, growing a lot of tobacco. They're growing a lot of tobacco around the stove.
Yeah.
So they got a better crop around the stove than they got in their fields?
Oh, yeah. It was a lot easier to raise.
There's been so many people passed away since we started the store. You just couldn't sit down and name them all.
Yeah.
And there's nobody to replace them. You know, just their widows maybe live here. And just, there's really been nobody to take their place.
Have a lot of the young people then moved away? Or?
Oh, yeah. Just about all of them. There's a very few that stay around.
Are a lot of these farms going fallow now then, or? Somebody raising crops on them or what?
There's, just like Ralph said a while ago, they're leasing the back out and somebody else is farming the farm. There, where it used to be a whole family would live on a farm and get their income from it, there'd be one person getting the income from maybe three or four different farms. It takes that, you know.
Yeah. It's sad, isn't it?
Yeah.
Think it'll ever go back the other way? People will come back to the land? I've got a question to ask, and I'm not farm raised, as y'all probably tell. But would it be economical for the farmers around here to go back to the horse and the plow instead of buying all this expensive machinery? Could they make a living if they went back and used horsepower instead of tractor power?
Well, they wouldn't do it.
They've
got used to tractors, and there's no horses to start with. The younger people wouldn't even know how, would they? And I don't think people would like that.
Now, I don't believe you can put up enough hay, you know, to run enough cattle to make this for it. Tobacco, you might make it if you just grew tobacco. But when you start putting up hay with horses with a pitchfork like they used to, you just haven't got the help. Back then, everybody had 4 or 5 children. They all went to the field, and the neighbor helped you. When somebody put up hay, there was a whole bunch in the field. Now when you put up hay, there may be 2 people in there. And without the modern equipment, you couldn't get enough to save your life.
What is going to happen to these farms then? What's going to happen to a store like this?
You can go to Clyde's and buy a case of pop right now cheaper than I ever bought one while we was in store business. And then you had to buy 25 of them to even get them close. You know, it had taken me 25 cases to even get them close. And you can't, there's no way you can compete with it. You can't sell it for less than you get for it.
No.
If you don't make a little profit, you're just no way to stay in business. And it's not right, really. I mean, there's something loose somewhere, because...
Yeah. What's going to happen then, or have you already noticed it? Like you said, everybody pitched in and helped everybody. Is that lessening too, or do people still pitch in and help?
Well, if somebody would get sick, in this community, if somebody got sick and couldn't do their farming, the people in the community would do it for them. I don't know that you can say that for every community. Around here, that's what it is.
So you still have the camaraderie around here. Everybody pulls in and works together.
Well, they don't work together maybe as much as they used to, but if they get in trouble, they'll help.
Yeah.
If you need somebody to help you, you need them at night, well, all you got to do is go ask them. Most of them will help you.
Are the people that come into your store here, are they people who, are they interested in politics or what's going on in the world, or are they, do they talk about it a lot, or? So these are people that are keeping up with what's going on in the rest of the world.
Oh yeah, they're not backwoodsmen by all means.
Well,
they
may be and don't know it, I don't know.
Huh?
We may be and don't know it. But they're still interested in politics. I watched every minute of the Democratic convention.
Yeah. Most people around here are Democrats, aren't they?
Yeah, well, all but one.
Oh? Are we looking at him? Do they give the lone Republican a hard time?
Yeah. Say we do. Well, we kid about it. We don't even make anybody mad over it. Y'all have something to kid about.
Sure do.
We're going to do it. Make anybody mad.
Y'all ever hear any stories about the tobacco wars?
Night Riders?
The Night Riders?
I've heard them talk about it. That's as far about as I know. About 1 year they cut it out, didn't they? And they rode through the country and destroyed what was put out or something.
Any of that take place up around here?
I think so. Yeah. I don't know what year it was or anything, but I've heard about it. A little about it.
But the Knight Riders were active in this area.
Yeah, they took care of people that were doing things they didn't think were right back then, too. They'd all get on their horses, ride up at night, and put a big bunch of switches on the porch. They didn't straighten up what they thought they should. They went back and used them.
So they gave warning then?
Yeah. Yeah, they wasn't anybody living with anybody then. Like they do nowadays. If they did, they was a man and woman in the house together. They got their switches on the porch. The next night to you, it wasn't gone.
Were there any other unwritten rules of behavior or any other way of letting people know? Or?
That's about it.
Switches.
It was plain and dumb. They made it plain that if they didn't, they used the switch. And it didn't happen anymore.
That ended. It convinced me. I'm not from Kentucky, so I'm never sure about some of the questions I asked, but did the Civil War, did it affect this community very much, or were the people here involved in it? Or?
Well, that's for my time, but not that I know of.
I hope it was for your time.
I never heard anybody say how much it affected.
I guess there was a few from around here that was in the Civil War, maybe. Because I know in our lodge hall we've got a picture of a guy that was in the Civil War.
North or south?
I think it was south. According to looking at the uniform. No.
Are there?
The North and South Methodist Church, that's how it came about, wasn't it, during the Civil War? One of them north, one of them south.
In Malvern?
Yeah. Could remember be. They had a north and a south Methodist church out there.
Split the church right in half.
So, I mean, they had two different churches, one from the north and one from the south. But I don't guess it affected this area like it did, you know, the more on the south.
Yeah. Are there many black families that live around here? Or?
There's two black colored people, I think, live in the county.
Are they old families or have been around for a long time?
Well, they're not families, they're just individuals. They might have had a family. No, I don't guess they ever did they?
They were family back
then.
Yeah,
that's right.
I guess they've all died off.
Yeah, just two colored people live there.
There's always been at least one family here, right?
Yeah, but that's just about it. I'd say there never was even when there's a family of 10 people. It wasn't just guessing, but I'd say there wasn't never over 10 people that lived in the county.
Any special reason?
No, they just didn't come here.
He poured.
Don't remember any of the fishing tales, huh? I'm from a fishing family. I've heard them all.
Well, I had a neighbor that used to fish in Licking River, and there's no tale with us. I saw it. He caught a fish that weighed 38 pounds on a trot line. You know what a trot line is?
Yeah.
It was a big flathead cat. I was a small boy and had him hanging in a pear tree, and he looked like a hog to me, you know. Of course, it was a big fish. Probably launched a deep freeze. But he used to do a lot of fishing.
Wonder if you could even pull him out of that size anymore in there.
Yeah. Oh, what if you can now, you mean?
Yeah.
I'd say this fish ain't bigger than that. A lot bigger. But he actually caught him on a trot line. The water was shallow, he said, where he caught him. If it'd been deep, he probably never got him.
Yeah.
Good.
This water didn't break his line.
Yeah. Well, he said if it'd been deep water, he'd
could have gotten them.
Went on down. But people don't fish like they used to, even.
They used to have fall trap.
What's a fall trap?
They'll dam the river up, run it into one channel. They'll have a box fixed up with falls on it before the fish runs in on it and he can't get back off. And they would set them, and then they would have certain days that each person would go down, take the fish, and come in there. Joe Hughes. He said his day come and come along the chair of rain, raised the river about 4 inches. And he said at 12 o'clock, he was sitting there and a flathead cat come in and weighed 50 pounds. And he took it off, went on to eat dinner, came back. And at 2 o'clock, one come in and weighed 52 pounds. So he got, he said probably the mate.
Good grief. I don't think I've ever seen one that big. Now, they built... Run this past me again, how they build this thing.
They would take rock and build a wall, just like a rock fence.
Okay.
And they'd run it in here to a channel about 4 or 5 feet wide. And they'd build a box, set right there. And the water would flow right through here, and they'd have the back end of the slats so the water could go on through. And they'd have falls set up, you know, just like stair steps, like fixed up. The water would run over these. When the fish come over them, they'd be three or four of them. Then they'd have a big box back in here where the fish could stay. And when he come back, he'd run his head under this fall. He couldn't see his way off.
Oh, okay. All right.
And that kept him trapped in there. And they'd just reach in there and get the fish off of it.
About how big of a box would they build at the other end of that? So that'd hold quite a few fish then, if you were checking it every day.
Oh yeah, there was somebody who would stay on.
They'd stay there all night. Somebody, you know, they'd take time out, so I understand. I'd never see one.
Yeah. I've seen them built in smaller creeks. I never saw one in the river.
Of course, if he had 102 pounds of fish in one of those, that'd about fill that box up that time, wouldn't it?
Of course, they'd take them off when they come off.
It'd
they'd
be somebody.
They'd sit right there with the trap. They'd sit all night. Take the fish off when they come in. And when they got what they wanted to eat, that's all they wanted. And somebody else would take over. And you could go to the river at that time, catch a mass fish on a handball anytime you wanted it. And the fish that didn't want it, they just throw it back over the side.
They smoke the fish or just go ahead and eat them fresh? Was there many guys that ran stills around here during Prohibition?
I don't really know.
There was a lot of still.
Huh?
There was a lot of them.
Was there?
Yeah. Especially back in this way, on Baker's Branch, Family. Okay. They had stills from where all the time. That's where a lot of people raised their families.
Where would they run it to?
They just sell them off. Most of them. Of course, I don't know. They might have sold, you know, run somewhere else.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
They have any trouble with the government coming in trying to shut them down?
No, not too much. There was a few that got shut down. If they thought the government was coming getting close on them, they'd just shut down, you know, quit for a while.
I've been.
Well, they have them down here on Lake River, too. They caught some of them. That's been too bad.
Did you ever hear whether it was good stuff or 24-hour variety?
It was good. They made that good clear. A little bubble in it.
You sound like a man who's tasted some.
I've tasted
it before. Never did taste one brew.
I have. I'm not asking for names or anything, but does anybody still make their own?
Not that I know of.
Ready in this vicinity. I never did know anybody.
Well, Woods used to make it down there on the river.
Yeah, I forgot about it. Don't worry about it. I don't. Right in this vicinity, I don't remember anybody making.
So prohibition really didn't interfere with anybody around here.
Oh, it, I guess they got some of them. I know they called. What was his name? Can't remember. Mac. Mac. No, it wasn't Mac. Ben. They called him. He run across the river boat. They said he jumped out and plunged the river, but they got him the next day.
How far are we from the Lickeem here?
2 miles. You haven't learned a thing here, have you?
Yeah, sure have. I've enjoyed it. I really have. Wish y'all could remember some more of those ghost stories.
They used to tell them. It's been about 10 years since Clarence Dawson was told today. He can start. He can start in the dark just before dark. He can start on it, and he can tell them at 12 o'clock at night and never get up on the ground.
It's just something like some people selling jokes. You know, yeah. Some people's got the eye for it.
Yeah.
Now, I've heard a few jokes in my lifetime that I wanted to really remember. Plus, I thought they were good, you know, and I can't remember.
Can't even give me one joke. I can't either. You remember any jokes you heard?
No. If I did, I wouldn't know.
Are you saying you hear risque jokes?
But I have actually want to remember a few of them. Just maybe remember a while and just completely forget them. And Otisburg used to tell you jokes, I mean, for days at a time. I never quit.
Never tell you the same one twice.
No, sir.
Tom Montgomery. Lacey was just about as bad.
Who was just about as bad?
Lacey Roger. He could tell you jokes all day long.
You know, till the Mary Jackson her first time.
Uh-huh. How long you lived, Maisley?
4 years. I really appreciate y'all letting me do this today.
She knows the same.
Well, don't put it on.
Just don't let nobody else hear it.
No.
This will go to the State Archives in Frankfurt. Would y'all mind if I came back sometime?
Yeah.